Hello, and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching once a week. If this is the first episode of mine that you stumble upon and you enjoy it, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts so you can get notified when I upload a new episode. I've been uploading on Wednesdays lately, fairly late Wednesday. I do anticipate this going out Wednesday evening slash night. This is going to be my thoughts on the Yellow Jacket season 3 finale. This isn't a formatted recap. I'm saving that for, I'm doing a deep dive of the entire season and I'm going episode by episode and kind of like tracking the narrative arc. I'm just kind of debriefing is what I've been doing every week after the episodes, like debriefing about my thoughts on the episode. So that's what I'm going to be doing with episode 10. I am going to share some brief thoughts I have about the season as a whole as well. But for the most part, this is just going to be me sharing my thoughts on the finale and stuff like that. So if you enjoy it, please follow me wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube if you're listening to this on YouTube. The deep dive won't be out like next week. It'll probably be out sometime in May just because it might take me a little bit time to prepare and record and edit and everything because I am going to be like really in depth with that. So that won't be out right away. Next week I'll talk about something else. I don't know, whatever's on my mind. Any other shows that I've been watching. There's a few shows that I've been watching that I'm like, I could just ramble about those. So I'll save that for next week. And then the deep dive will come out soon. I was working on a School Spirits deep dive. I do want to still work on that one. I'll try to see if I can get that one done before I get the Yellow Jackets one done. I don't know. Anyways, sorry to ramble. Thanks for tuning in. Means a lot. So I've been doing these recaps where I do the one timeline at a time. So I'm going to start with the teen or the adult timeline because there's less in the adult timeline to digest this episode than the teen timeline. And the season ends on like a big cliffhanger in the teen timeline. So I want to get to that in the end. Plus we finally got the pick girl scene. So I like don't want to, like I want to end with that and everything. So anyways, the episode does open with, I loved this song. It was called Sleepwalking. It's an original song that they wrote for the show. And the whole opening sequence of the episode was like really powerful. And I'll get to the teen timeline stuff of it. But in that sequence, we see Lottie asleep and then she seemingly wakes up and it like merges with the adult timeline. And we see Lottie wake up in the morgue, adult Lottie, teen Lottie's there. She's wearing the outfit that she was wearing in the pre-crash party, which I really like this detail because when Natalie died in her death sequence, her plane sequence that Van also got one of. In the plane sequence, she sees young Natalie and Natalie is wearing what she wore. So I like this connective tissue between Lottie and Nat because to me they are connected. So any kind of little, I genuinely, whether it's romantic or not, I think that they have such an important relationship in terms of moving the plot forward. And they're such interesting characters in terms of like the relationship they have with each other and also the roles they play in the wilderness and in the story that I love their dynamic, romantic or not. So any kind of like little, any connective tissue, I pay attention to. But anyways, both Lotties are like, they have a conversation. I really liked this scene. Adult Lottie's like, did I miss it? And then Lottie's like, it's time to meet her. I don't know if this is supposed to be Callie, but anyways, we see like adult Lottie walking up that hallway lit with candles, mirroring the vision that Lottie had in season 1. So we saw like adult Lottie up that stairwell like teen Lottie did with the candles lit, and it intercuts between teen Lottie and Lottie. And then Lottie wakes up and she's there in the basement of her dad's apartment building that we now know is where that vision takes place. And she says, are you there? Like she's talking to it, right? I thought this was really interesting. I think my biggest complaint of the season as a whole is just the pacing, because I don't, like this might come as a surprise as somebody who on this podcast has complained a lot about the decision to kill off Lottie. And I don't know if like, am I still really sad about it? And do I still think it's a huge loss? Yes. Am I totally upset about like the narrative decision and like the way her death happened? I'm more so upset about like the pacing and the amount of buildup or lack thereof that we got to this death, which I guess I'll get into. Sorry to ramble. But, like, even this scene where we see Lottie, like, I think it's been really difficult this season because Lottie died, like, 4 episodes in, and then it's just been kind of, like, when will we find out what happened to Lottie? Like, it's been a mystery of the season, but it hasn't really been that prominent of a plot line, in my opinion. It's been really difficult to be, like, when are we going to find out what happened to Lottie? And I think finding out what happened to Lottie, I think narratively it's interesting. I'm just, like, not super pumped with the execution because I feel like, I think this episode really hit me because seeing Simone Kessel embody Lottie, not to rhyme, in the scenes that we had her before we, like, found out how she died just really made me remember and realize, like, how much of a loss not having her is going to be and has been. And I think it just feels a little bit premature. I think on paper, the idea of having Callie kill Lottie is interesting. And I think it is really powerful and, like, impactful that Lottie died at the hands of, like, the child of the wilderness. I think that's really interesting. I'm not opposed to it. And I do think there is an interesting path forward for, like, the way the girls devolve in the adult timeline when they don't have, like, a scapegoat. But interestingly enough, now it seems like Shauna's their scapegoat. So it's like, it seems like they'll always have some kind of scapegoat. Before it was like Lottie's woo-woo wilderness stuff. Now it's like Shauna. Like, I saw somebody say that, like, them choosing to kill off Lottie, part of it was probably, and I think one of the creators said something along this lines too, of like Lottie's like their connection to the wilderness, right? Like, without Lottie there, it's like they don't have that excuse for, like, their behavior, maybe, right? The interesting thing to me is, like, at the end of the adult timeline, now their scapegoat, their excuse is just Shauna. Shauna's to blame for everything. So it doesn't really feel like them killing off Lottie narratively in that regard is really going to pan out. Do I think that there's something they could do with it? Maybe. I do think her dying at the hands of Callie is interesting. I just wish we had gotten her relationship with Callie fleshed out a bit more. Like, I think that there's a really interesting way to do that where we get a whole season of buildup, and then at the end, instead of it even being a mystery, because it's not like every death has been a mystery, they could have just had the tape this season be the mystery, and then Callie kills Lottie at the end. Everything that happens this episode with Callie and Jeff leaving Shauna could have still happened, but we could have had a good amount of episodes with Lottie genuinely taking Callie under her wing. Callie really buying into Lottie's thing. Maybe Callie even starting to really believe in the wilderness. Like, I think there could have been a really interesting way where we have this Callie-Lottie dynamic throughout the whole season, and then Callie begins to find herself. If, like, the point of Callie killing Lottie in terms of moving Callie, Shauna, and Jeff's story along, because obviously I think the choice for Lottie to die at the hands of Callie has interesting layers on Lottie's side. But I think for Callie and going forward, because obviously that's going to be very impactful, I think it could have been really, really interesting if we had the Callie-Lottie dynamic explored throughout the season and Callie, like, started to buy into it. She started becoming a version of herself that scared her. So then when she has this break in this episode, when she's like, am I like mom? It could have hit harder. You know what I mean? All of those Jeff and Callie scenes that we had of, like, Jeff starting to question if Shauna's sane, and, like, her ruining the business deal with the Joels, which made him start to resent Shauna and then turn on her. I think it could have been really interesting if we had that happen, but not because Jeff's deal fell through, but because Callie started becoming a version of herself that was very destructive and very much like teen Shauna, obviously not in the same capacity, but she started buying into the wilderness. She started, like, really, really believing Lottie, and it scared her, and then it ended with her killing Lottie. Like, I think Lottie dying at the hands of Callie pushing her in this moment that we see, to me, isn't horrible. Like, I think that could have been really interesting. I think the way it was executed was, I think it's really powerful. And I do think there's something really sad about, like, this connection she has to Shauna's children, right? And all of that. Like, I don't think on paper, like, I think it's a good idea. I think it could have been even more powerful if it was executed in a different way. Like, I'm just spitballing. I just think if we saw all those scenes that we had of Jeff and Callie at the motel beginning to resent Shauna, imagine if instead we saw Callie begin to buy into Lottie's cult and really freak Jeff out, and then it ended with her, like, doing this violent act. I think it could have been so much more powerful for Lottie. It could have been so much more powerful of a narrative for Callie, and this scene where she breaks down and she's like, I'm like mom. You know what I mean? Just spitballing here, but I think that could have been a way that they did the storyline, and it could have been a little bit more impactful. I'm not opposed to a death, even when it's a character that I really care about and I would have wanted to see where their story went. If it's, like, executed, I think the biggest flaw for me this season is not them necessarily killing the characters, but it's the way the characters are treated before they die. And my sister said that, so I want to credit her for that, because I didn't come up with this on my own. But I do agree with that it's not even simply about killing off the adult characters. It's the way they're treated before they die. Lottie had a few episodes this season, and then boom, she died. And then it was like, what happened to her all season? Like, why couldn't we have seen Lottie this entire season? And then her death, it build, like, we could have built up to her death, to Callie killing her. And instead of it being a mystery and a big reveal of, like, Callie killed Lottie, we could have seen the Callie-Lottie relationship happen, and then we could have seen in real time Callie kill Lottie. Like, why did it have to be a mystery? I don't think the mystery element added anything to Lottie's death. You know what I mean? I think it would have been more interesting if we saw some kind of build up and then we in real time witness Callie reach that point with Lottie, instead of it being like, who killed Lottie? And then we find out, you know what I mean? Anyways, I went into all this unnecessary tangents. I really liked the scene of young Lottie and adult Lottie, like, in the morgue. I did really appreciate that. I didn't mean to go on this, Callie. I had other notes before I got to this. But my point, the reason I went on this tangent was because I really liked this scene of Lottie sleepwalking. And I think that there could have been a really interesting way where we got more of this leading up to Lottie dying. What I am more frustrated with isn't even that they killed off Lottie. It's the fact that they made her death a mystery, because I don't think it was that shocking. The only way it being a mystery would make more sense to me narratively is if it had something to do with Melissa, because we didn't know Melissa was alive. So, like, they would have had to wait to reveal Melissa before we find out that, like, Melissa was involved in killing Lottie. It being Callie, I feel like, is more interesting than Melissa being the person to kill Lottie. But I just think they could have built up to it in a way that would have done that storyline more justice than the way it happened. Like, I think it's a really, really interesting idea. And I think it is really powerful and sad that Lottie died at Callie's hands. Like, I do think that's really interesting. I just think we could have had so many more scenes between Callie and Lottie, and Lottie maybe bringing out this version of Callie, and then it leading up to her killing her. But anyways, sorry to go on that tangent. So I went on that tangent because I was like, I like the sleepwalking. I wish we had seen more of that. Anyways, so Shauna and Ty bury Van. Who knows where? Just they bury Van somewhere randomly. You know what I wish we would have gotten? And I don't know if we're going to, because Yellow Jackets, like, sometimes they pick up. Like, this season they picked up, at least in the teen timeline, like, with, there was a time jump. I would love if, like, early on into season 4, if they get renewed, hopefully, if the Wilderness hears me, they will get renewed. And I think she will. Me and the Wilderness are tight. I would love if we see Alex just coming back to her house. Alex is really the biggest victim here. I'm still not, like, I think a lot of people really, I mean, maybe less so after she killed Van, but, like, a lot of people were really, really riding hard for Melissa because she turned against Shauna. I'm like, I still don't fuck with Melissa. I'm sorry. Actually, I know I said earlier that I think that what my biggest complaint of the season was, I'm still not super sold on the idea of Melissa being the last survivor. I'm not gonna lie, that still annoys me a little bit, but she's not in this episode, so let me not go on to another Melissa tangent, because I've hated on her enough. for the time being. Anyways, Shauna and Ty bury Van. Who knows how they left Alex's house? Poor Alex. Ty specifically buries Van by herself because she's like, you're not touching her, to Shauna, which is fair. She cuts Van's heart out and takes a bite of Van's heart. Apparently, Tawny, who plays adult Ty, said that there was a really beautiful speech that they cut out here. That's annoying to me. Why did they do that? Yellow Jackets needs to release like extended. I would pay for like a DVD version, and I don't even have a DVD player. Like, I would have to get a DVD player to somehow get access to the scenes, and I would do it. Like, I'm so serious. They need to release like extended editions because there's so much they cut out. So anyways, this was really, it was really sad. Tawny is really such a good actress because in the brief moment that we do see of Ty burying Van, she talks about like how she's gonna remember all of it, like all of her and all of Van. And it's very much implied that like whatever this version of her was that wasn't always fully conscious, or like the real version of her wasn't always fully conscious, like now they've kind of melded together, I guess, in an interesting way. Like, it's not like other Ty left. It's just kind of like other Ty, they're equal parts now. They don't, other Ty can't take over. Anyways, Misty goes to Callie's school. Callie is like vaping. I remember, you know what, in my last podcast episode, I was like, Callie, why are you smoking? Like, Callie, Jeff should not be smoking weed with Callie. Like, I have to say, I get why she's smoking so much weed. She killed somebody. Like, girl is self-medicating, okay? Misty confronts Callie. She's like, here's the photo of you with the necklace. Mitochondrial DNA. Apparently, like, the DNA under Lottie's fingernails could have also been Callie's, not just Shauna's, because they share mitochondrial DNA. And Callie's like, it was an accident. I have a lot of thoughts about Lottie dying at the hands of Callie, but I feel like I've dived into most of them. I think the main thing I want to say, no, actually, the main thing I wanted to say I already said, but an additional thing I want to say is I do genuinely like it in concept. I just wish that we had had a bit more of the Callie-Lottie dynamic leading up to it, because I think it could have made it more powerful. Like, I'm really not opposed to the characters dying. I even, as much as I was like pissed the fuck off at Melissa for doing it, and I was like, I hate her even more now, I didn't hate the choice to have Van die the way she did. I wasn't against that because it was shocking. And I feel like maybe it's just me, but I fully, from the beginning, expected Van to die. Van is not a character that I personally ever had like that deep of a connection to. Like, I liked Van, but because early on we were introduced to adult Van as having cancer, I was like, adult Van's gonna die. Like, I didn't get attached to Van in the adult timeline because I was like, she's probably gonna die. Why would they introduce her as having terminal cancer? Like, she's going to die. Is there a chance that she like they weren't gonna kill her? Maybe, but Van's storyline to me did always very much feel like it was leading to her eventually dying. Like, she survived so many times. If it wasn't this season, I just didn't think Van was gonna last very long. So Van dying within itself to me was not so jarring or upsetting. And the way it happened, that scene to me, as much as certain people have issues with it, I genuinely thought it was really well done, because I think up until this moment, there's like a level of Melissa who's like, Shauna, you're crazy. Like, you're crazy, you're paranoid, like, I live a normal life. And that was a moment where we see the true Melissa. Melissa's not living a normal life, she is. I liked what that did in terms of, like, revealing something about Melissa and also revealing something about Van. With everything we see Van do in the teen timeline, the times that she buys into the wilderness in order to survive, I thought it was really powerful to have Van in the adult timeline be like, I feel like part of me is like, if I kill you, maybe it'll give me more time, but I can't do that. I can't be that. I can't touch that version of myself again. And I thought it was really interesting that Melissa in that moment is like, I can. Like, I thought that was really interesting. I actually really liked that choice. I don't hate the choice of killing Lottie. I mean, I do, because I love Lottie and I want to see as much Lottie as I can. But genuinely, after the season is over, I do think Lottie dying this season and Callie killing Lottie is really interesting. And I think it sets us up for a very interesting place with Callie and Shauna's relationship going into the next season if we have one. I think that's really interesting. I really just think that the execution for me is not exactly where I want it to be, because I really do think if we had gotten more of the Callie Lottie dynamic and Callie becoming a version of herself that began to scare her, and it culminated in her killing Lottie instead of kind of, it seems like that's the first moment where she like snapped, like she does something. I think it would have been really interesting if we saw Callie kind of like devolve a little bit, like buy into Lottie. Maybe this would have been problematic and they didn't want to do this, but like the way that Lottie was pushing people in the teen timeline to connect to the wilderness, I think it could have been really interesting to parallel that in the adult timeline of Lottie pushing Callie to connect to the wilderness, right? The way that she did very much this season with Travis and then Akila. Like that was a big thing of Lottie in the teen timeline of like, she can't hear the wilderness anymore. So she's trying to get other people to connect to it. I think if they wanted to go this route of having Callie kill Lottie, we could have maybe had Lottie pushing Callie to connect to the wilderness. That parallels her story in the teen timeline this season. And then it makes Callie snapping out of it and pushing Lottie to her death and killing Lottie and like what that means for Callie and Shauna and everything going forward. That would have made it so much more impactful. Like, I am less against them killing Lottie and more against them making Lottie's death a mystery, because I don't think the mystery added that much. And I think it would have been even more powerful if we had a buildup to it that I don't feel like we got. Like it felt like she suddenly died in episode 4. And then here and there, there would be mentions of the investigation moving forward. And then Misty just cracks the case. I don't think we needed it to be an investigation. I think they could have killed Lottie at the end of the season and had a buildup in a way that made her death more powerful, if that makes sense. Anyways, where was I going? She tells Jeff, I actually really like this scene. As much as I've been a Jeff hater, this was my favorite scene of Jeff's this season. Again, I think the Jeff, Callie, Shauna dynamic is so much more powerful when it's connected to like this wilderness, generational trauma kind of story, which is why I like all of those scenes that we saw of Jeff and Callie in the hotel. Imagine if instead of that, we got Callie and Lottie. Would that not have made Callie killing Lottie that much more impactful? As a Lottie stan, I'm not even opposed to Lottie dying this season. I wish it had been done slightly differently. I do think there's something really interesting about Shauna's child killing Lottie. I do. And I think it sets us up to a very interesting place going forward with the relationship Callie has to her mother and the wilderness. Imagine, okay, I don't need to keep, I'm going on and on and on. I really like the scene. I liked Jeff being like, no, you're not like your mother. Could have hit harder. I really want to say, I'm not trying to be like annoying and nitpicky. I do just genuinely, like sometimes I see where they were trying to go and I'm like, if you had just edited it a tiny bit, it could have hit so much harder. And I say this as a Lottie stan and as somebody who on, like I'm not upset with the way Lottie died. I'm really not. Which is a huge change for the way I've been talking about them killing off Lottie. I just think they could have built up to it in a more impactful way. That's my take on the Callie Lottie of it all. I've been ranting about this for a while. Anyways, Shauna gets back to her place and it's empty. Callie and Jeff are gone and Callie's phone is disconnected. Shauna then goes to Misty's house and she blames Misty for Jeff and Callie leaving. What's so funny is when I was watching the episode, I was like, she definitely thinks Melissa. She seems like panicked. And I'm like, I would jump to like Melissa. Like this has something to do with Melissa. You literally, she stabbed Van and then ran away. Like now your family's gone. But no, she goes to Misty. She's like, what did you do to my family? Why would you not think it was your like murderous ex-girlfriend whose arm you took a bite of? Maybe that's just me. Misty reveals that Callie killed Lottie. Shauna's basically all alone now. Everybody's turning on Shauna. We see Ty at a restaurant and she's like talking to somebody and we don't see who it is. And I fully, in my delusional brain, was like, that's adult Akila. They're about to reveal to us that adult Akila is across the booth from her. Why are they not showing us who's off camera? That, or it's meant to be like, oh, she's talking to other Ty. But that wouldn't make sense to me at this point in the story because it's like, haven't we seen her vanquish other Ty? But no, it's Misty. She's talking to Misty and she's saying that Shauna fueled everything out there. Everything's Shauna's fault. We said we would protect each other when we got back. Shauna kept all these journals and she killed a man. She mutilated her ex. Shauna's at fault for everything, which is why the angle of like Lottie needed to die in the adult timeline because she was their connection to the wilderness. And like this way they don't have somebody to blame for everything. I'm like, now they're just blaming Shauna for everything. So that doesn't, I don't really agree with that conceptualization of Lottie dying. I do, again, I'm not opposed to Lottie having died the way she did. I wish we had gotten a little bit more build up because I think that would have made it more interesting. And also then we could have gotten a little bit, like, am I crazy to think that it would be really, really interesting if parallel to the storyline of teen Lottie pushing Travis and Akilah to connect to the wilderness, we had adult Lottie pushing Callie to connect to the wilderness, and then that ending with Callie killing Lottie. I just really don't think we had to make Lottie's death a mystery. Travis's death had to be a mystery in season one because it was building up to the who the fuck is Lottie Matthews reveal, and it seemed maybe connected to the blackmail, which it ended up not being. But like, it doesn't feel like Lottie's death had to be a mystery. Last thing I'll say, sorry to ramble. Anyways, they're just blaming, Shauna's the scapegoat now, which I'm not saying Shauna didn't instigate and push and everything, but it's like not everything be Shauna's fault, okay? Shauna did say there was no it, you know, it was just us. Anyways, Shauna's alone at home and she finds the note that came with the tape that Melissa sent. And we get a little flashback to like what happened. Jeff scared Callie and Callie dropped it under the fridge. And so Callie never read the note. Lottie never read the note. No one ever read the note, which is an interesting detail. I think it would have been like, oh, if Lottie read the note, if Callie read the note. Nobody read the note. The note, by the way, is insane. You can't read all of it because it's not all on camera. But the bit that I paused was like, hey, sorry I faked my death. This is pretty darn close. She said pretty darn close to evidence for murder. Like, girl, I don't know. I don't like Melissa. I'm sorry. And then Shauna decides to start writing on a little notepad. I thought it was so funny. Thaisa's like, oh, Shauna, she kept all these journals with evidence. Meanwhile, in the present timeline, same night, Shauna starts writing up a fucking memoir or something. Like, she's so unserious. Anyways, that monologue is then intercut with the feast that ends Pit Girl. So I'll get to that. But that's all for the adult timeline. So the teen timeline opens with room checks and basically they're just manhandling Natalie. Shauna's on a power trip and she's trying to like be mean to Natalie. I don't know. I felt so bad for Natalie here. And then we get a flashback to the Misty Nat scene of immediately after. This was so powerful. And the music, like this opening scene for this episode was so beautiful. I loved it. This scene led into Lottie's like dream and it ended with like Lottie being like, can you hear me? And that's when the theme song cut. I loved this opening sequence in its entirety. Probably one of my favorites of the entire series so far. Like I loved it genuinely. Anyways, Natalie like yells at Misty. She punches her. Another thing that they cut, apparently Samantha Hanratty said that this was much longer and they cut it down. Why do they do that? Like they have to genuinely, my biggest advice, not that they have control over this. This is like a network thing. It's not like the writers do this. If somebody from Paramount Plus or Showtime or whatever, like has anybody who has any connections, if you listen to this, please, at least 12 episodes a season, okay? They're cutting out too much. Please, please stop cutting everything down so much, or at least give us the extended tapes. I'll pay money for it. I wanna see this whole scene. And I will say, as much as I really like this opening sequence and I thought it was interesting, the buildup and the song choice and the way it cut in between that, I wish that we had just picked up with immediately after. Like, I don't know why we had to do the room check there. I don't know. Maybe when I rewatch it again, I'll be like, okay, this is like, I do think it builds tension and it's like setting, I guess, the dynamic of how things are right now. The way Shauna rules, I guess, because we haven't had much of like Shauna's in charge and then things change really quickly. Like Shauna gets in charge, but then they stumble upon the scientists and it's like they're trying to get back to rescue. So Shauna's kind of back in charge now. I don't know. I think maybe that was the point. And I do think I like the whole sequence. But I just like, at first I was like, what time, where did we pick up? And then it flashed back to the, anyways, I really liked this opening sequence though. Not to be too nitpicky. I just wish we had gotten more of it because I think Natalie finding Misty, like that's been one of the big questions the whole series. Like I feel like who's Pit Girl has been like a big question of like the series. Then what does the symbol mean? What is the origin for that, right? Those are like big questions. And then does anybody ever know that like Misty broke the black box? That's a big question, right? So us finding out that Natalie knows and then like not getting that scene in its entirety is a little bit disappointing. The amount we saw, loved it. Sophie Thatcher, amazing. Like she like punches Misty. It's like, but then immediately she's like, how can this get us home? Literally chills thinking about it still with the music in the background. Like this was so well done. Anyways, and then we see Lottie while they're doing room checks. Lottie is asleep. And Lottie's dream then transitions into Lottie waking up at the morgue, which I already talked about. So the next day, or actually, I don't know what day it is. I don't know why I said the next day, but it's now a new day. And Misty and Van have a conversation. And I'm literally an idiot because I watched this episode twice before I just rewatched it earlier today before recording this podcast and took notes. Because I watched it the day it came out, and then I went to a screening for the season 3 finale, and I watched it then in the theater. And I genuinely, both times I watched the scene, I didn't understand what the fuck they were talking about. They're talking about the phone, but they're, like, not being obvious about the phone. Vane is, like, warming up water, and she's like, it's not warming up. And I was like, what the hell does this... I was like, especially because later they're like, we're gonna hunt somebody, and we're gonna prepare a feast. I'm like, I thought the water wasn't working, but it's not. It has nothing to do with the water. They're in code trying to talk about the phone. And Van says that like it's turning on, but it seems pretty dead still. Then Akila cries. All her animals are dead. She's like, why would the wilderness do this? And then Lottie says, we got greedy, like it wanted blood or whatever. Natalie's like, all we've done is spill blood. Mari's like, but they were our enemies or whatever. Anyways, eventually they're like, we have to give it ourselves, right? All these people who have died have been our enemies, not us. We have to give it what it wants, like a proper hunt. Shauna's like, yeah, we have to give it what it wants, honor the wilderness. Natalie's like, I'm out. And Shauna doesn't let her. And the hunt is therefore on. We then see Thaisa and Van have a conversation about rigging the draw. And it's confirmed that they rigged the draw for the shit bucket. So Crystal kept getting it, which I thought was so funny because after episode 9, or I don't know if it was episode 9. Yeah, I think it was episode 9. Whenever they have that conversation where Ty is like, good thing you've been practicing with the cards, right? I saw somebody tweeted like, I like to imagine that they've been rigging it since like they were just doing it for chores. So they kept giving Crystal the shit bucket. And then that was fully confirmed. And I thought that was so funny because when they say they've been rigging it, like we don't know, or that she's been practicing, we don't know if she just like just started when it became like after they hunted somebody, right? Because the cards meant chore stuff before they started hunting people. And that's why they used the cards to hunt. I just thought that was so funny. But not funny is that Van is like, I don't want to have to rig it. Like that was shit bucket duty. Like this is deciding who lives or dies. And Van is like, they're our teammates. And Ty is like, not all of them. And I thought this was really interesting because Ty wanting to stay in the wilderness, it made sense to me at the time. But I think what became more clear to me this episode, or at least this is my opinion, I really feel like Ty, as much as she was hesitant to go back for all of those real world implications, I think one of the main obstacles was Hannah. I don't think when Natalie comes back and she's like, I made a phone call, I don't think Ty's going to be hesitant with rescue on the way. What this revealed to me was that more than Ty is like hesitant about going back, I think part, like a huge part of that hesitation is Hannah and the like somebody blabbing. And I think she just doesn't trust Hannah more than she trusts the others. That's my perspective. I think what this revealed to me, it's unclear to me, and maybe other people have like an opinion on this, but I can't tell, and maybe I'm just stupid and I need to rewatch it, because Van obviously is somewhat in, like Van is aware of the phone situation, right? It seems like it's implied, or it's fairly clear that she and Misty have been talking about the phone. She probably has an idea that Natalie like left, right? She was somewhat part of the plan, maybe kind of, or maybe she picked up on the plan. Did Ty have any idea? I don't know. Anyways, Ty wants Hannah to get the queen. So that's what they're planning for snow falls. It's like fully covered in snow. And when Shauna wakes up, she hears Jackie's voice. Then it's time for the draw. They've rigged it, obviously, so they're prepared, or so they think. Natalie gets an ace, which I noted because Lottie got an ace in the adult timeline when they did the draw in season two. So Lottie Nat confirmed. No, I'm kidding. Then when Lottie draws, I loved this moment. She seems excited to draw and then she's disappointed when she doesn't get it. And I think there's just something really tragically sad about Lottie and wanting to get the queen. Lottie is a very interesting character to me because she suggested they eat her body. And that's when they began the hunt. And again, some people argue that this was all like a Machiavellian thing. And she knew that by saying, eat my body, that would whatever. I don't view it that way. I genuinely view it as her being like, I'm gonna die. Please don't waste my body. We ate Jackie and that kept us through the winter. Which, you know what? I was talking to my mom about the show Yellow Jackets. Why did I say it like that? I was talking to my mom about Yellow Jackets because I just started an Instagram for my podcast and she followed the Instagram. And so she was like mentioning things about the show and I'm like, you would hate it. Anyways, and she told me that she watched the movie about the plane that crashed in the Andes in the 70s, right? And they had to eat each other. And my mom was like, in the movie, at least, I don't know how true this is, but like, they were very much like, I'm gonna die. Like, if we die, when they were like freezing and they were dying, many of them were like, please, like, if I die, please use me to stay alive. And I thought that was interesting because that's very much like the way that Lottie spoke about it. I don't really think, from my perspective, that Lottie was trying to be like, we should eat each other in a ritualistic way. But I think after Javi died and after Natalie lived in that way, and like, I think that shifted things for Lottie a lot. And she did start to view Javi's death as this divine thing that the wilderness chose. And I think she started to buy into like it needing our blood. But I don't think that was Lottie's main intention. Anyways. So I think there's something really interesting about the hunt beginning because Lottie wanted to sacrifice herself in this way. I think there is something really interesting about the way Lottie died and the fact that Lottie always wanted to sacrifice herself in a way. I don't know. I'm not making any sense. I got sad about thinking about Lottie dying and wanting to die and wanting to be the sacrifice. But I just think that's really interesting that the hunt kind of began because Lottie was like, use my body. Don't let me go to waste. Keep yourselves alive when I don't live, you know? I just thought that was interesting. Anyways, Shauna begins to clock that they are rigging the draw. So she moves. She moves in place. And instead of Hannah getting the queen, Mari gets the queen. At this point, I was like, she's pick girl. Like, this has to be pick girl. Which I have to say, actually, let me finish it and then I'll say my thoughts on how I feel about Mari being pick girl. Mari gets the queen. Shauna puts the necklace on her and begins to count. And then Mari runs off and they begin hunting her. Travis is drunk. And he begins to talk about two realities and about how like some of his thoughts are Javi's thoughts and his favorite thoughts are Jackie's. And he mentions slumber party makeouts and jealousy. And Lottie's like, Shauna, don't listen to him, go. And I thought this was really interesting because I think I have never super been on the I want Yellow Jackets to be supernatural show just because I tend to not gravitate towards supernatural shows. And I still think maybe I would prefer if it was like somewhat unconfirmed. But I think the route that I, in my ideal world, would like it to go if it was supernatural is some kind of concept of like multiple realities. This is something they've mentioned multiple times. And I think because of the structure of the show being two timelines and us seeing in moments the teen timeline intersecting with the adult timeline, I think a really interesting path for Yellow Jackets is kind of like a third timeline, or like there are multiple realities because there are things like Mari's pit girl, and in season two she hears blood dripping, and it's like, from my perspective, I think she hears the blood dripping because everything that she's lived, she's already lived. That made no sense. But like Mari in season two has already experienced the hunt and dying as Pit Girl, because the timelines, like everything that she's currently experienced, like everything that she experiences in life, she's already experienced. I'm not making any sense. But it's just like the realities intertwine. Time isn't like a straight line. It's like everything that's happened has already happened. You've already lived through everything that will happen to you. So the premonitions, the hearing of the blood or whatever, is because part of you has already lived that. So you know it's going to happen. Did that make any sense? I feel like I sound like I'm drunk when I'm talking. I don't really know. That's just that's the way that I think I would like it to go. Is like it's not necessarily supernatural in a, like, there's like a demon. Honestly, even if there's a demon, I think I'd be open to it if it was done well. But to me, I think it would be interesting if it's like some kind of commentary on like consciousness and reality. That's the way that I interpret it, even if that's not explicit. In my mind, that's what all of that means, that there are kind of like multiple realities. The timelines do intersect. And you know what? Part of me hoping that, because I think that would maybe allow them to bring Simone Kessel back. Yeah, I do. I would like, and honestly, like the thing is, I feel like I would sound more crazy if this wasn't like a thing that they brought up multiple times, and it would like maybe, like it would make sense. Like I'm not pulling it out of my ass. Like the Mari hearing the dripping and other things. And even like Lottie having the vision of where she ends up dying. It's because teen Lottie has already lived through everything she lived through. So she knows it's going to happen, even though she hasn't lived through it. Yeah.
I hope that makes sense. I don't think it does, but if you were with me, thanks.
Oh, also the slumber party makeouts comment was so funny. Jackie Shonak confirmed. I think, you know, an interesting, like, it's either there is some kind of supernatural thing and he can hear Jackie and whatever, and he's on a different plane of existence when he's like, and even I think there would be an interesting aspect of like Lottie's illness and then the way that allows her to like tap into like a different realm, and the way that then when people are impaired, they tap into like that same thing that she taps into, but it's not like a supernatural thing. It's just like a different level of consciousness and reality. Does that make sense? Anyways, but I think it'd be funny if there is like, that is some kind of explanation for it. Or maybe Jackie just told him that. Like, imagine Jackie and Travis, before they like hook up, she's like, you know, I used to do things with Shauna. Imagine that. That would be so funny. Anyways, they start hunting Mari. And interesting notes throughout the hunt. Shauna's like paranoid from the beginning. She like fights with Ty. She's like, I know you fucked with the draw. Ty doesn't back down. She's like, back up, like, stop. And I really liked this. I liked Ty standing up to Shauna. We see Mari running through, and there does reach a point where she begins to take off all her clothes. And at this point, I'm like, well, she's RIP Mari. Jen lures Ty away by being like, Van's hurt. Then eventually, Jen and Ty come upon Van, and Van's like, what's going on? And Jen's like, I'm trying to give her a fair chance, okay? Mari's my friend. So heartbreaking. We see Natalie find the phone, and then Hannah realizes the phone has been moved. Natalie, like, ambushes? I don't know if that's the right word. Anyway, she pushes Hannah up against a tree and has, like, a stake, and she's, like, threatening her because she's like, whose side are you on? Hannah's like, I came here to research frogs. My boyfriend got axe murdered. I've eaten human flesh. Like, I just want to get home. I felt so bad for her in this moment. Anyways, then Akilah goes down to the caves. Lottie's there. And Lottie says, I know it must have been hard for you to do what you did. And then we get a flashback to Akilah saying, if we want to hunt, I have an idea. And then she like poisons the animals and they all die. And I found this really interesting because at first I thought Lottie was just talking to like the wilderness. And that's still how I read it. Like, I don't know, was she talking to Akilah? Because to me, it seems like Lottie wasn't in on that plan. So either Lottie wasn't in on the plan and she just has like the clairvoyance that people like, was she talking to the wilderness of like, I know it must have been hard? Because I don't really think, because if the whole reason that Akilah killed the animals to prompt a hunt was so Natalie could get away and like cause a distraction, right? So Natalie could get away, because that's what ends up happening. If that was the plan, then why would Lottie know? I feel like she was talking to the wilderness of, like, I know that must have been hard for you. But I don't know. Was she talking to Akila? I have so many questions. Because we never see Akila again after this conversation in the wilderness, in the caves. She's like, Travis told me the truth. Like, none of this is true. And Lottie's like, but your visions did come true, just like mine did. And just like Travis's did. Like, and then we never see Akila again. So, like, what happened to Akila? Does Lottie know Akila killed the animals? Because how would she know? And if she does, then that adds a really interesting layer to Lottie even suggesting the hunt. Because if the whole reason they killed the animals was so they would have a reason to have a hunt, why would Lottie know? I feel like Lottie doesn't know, and she was talking to, like, the wilderness and being like, I know it must have been hard for you to kill your children. I don't know. Was she talking to Akila? How did other people read the scene? Because I still, after watching the episode 3 times now, I don't know how I feel about it. Because I could go either way. I do think that there's a world where, like, Lottie does know, like, she has a deep connection to Akila, and she can, like, tell that Akila had to do that. But then why would she react the way she did? I don't know. I still find the whole thing very confusing. If anybody has any thoughts, they're welcome. Anyways, Mari and Lottie bump into each other, and Lottie gives, like, a very vague warning of, like, you've been here before. Try to make it different. And Mari's like, fuck off. And then she runs and she falls into the pit, and Mari is dead. R.I.P. Mari. Meanwhile, Melissa knocks Shauna down and, like, tries to choke, like, begins to choke her, but she doesn't end up going through with killing her. This was really interesting. I still don't know how I feel about the Melissa, Shauna of it all. I don't really care to dive more deep into it. We'll see how it goes in season 4, if there is one. I cannot will myself to care about Melissa and Shauna. I just can't. I think Shauna has, and, like, yes, I am biased because Lottie's my favorite character, but I really, really think that we could have gotten more Callie and Lottie, and that would have added so much to Shauna's dynamic while also giving Lottie some more time before she died. That's just my opinion of the season. I don't think we needed as much Melissa, but this was an interesting moment. I don't know how I feel about Melissa still. I do feel like she and Shauna are very similar. Obviously different, but I do feel like there's a similarity to them in the violence of it all. And, like, the way that neither of them, like, they both got close to killing each other, but they didn't kill the other. I think that's interesting. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I'm excited. I'll see where it goes. Anyways, Van is really devastated that Mari's dead. And you know what? Van, me too. Liv Hewson, once again, there was an improvisation that they did this episode where they were like, it's Mari. That was improvised. Liv Hewson is such a good actor. Truly so talented. Like, the choices that they make for Van add so much to the character. The acting on the show is, like, truly so phenomenal. I think, and maybe it's because I really like the show and I watch a lot of interviews, and maybe I just don't watch enough interviews about other shows I watch. But I really feel like of all the shows I'm really into, I feel like the way the actors talk about their character and building their characters and, like, caring for the characters and rooting for the characters even when they're doing bad things, and, like, trying to just understand the way that these actors really care about bringing the stories to life, it is truly so beautiful to me and makes me love the show even more. Because I think for me, more than, like, an interesting plot, I do, like, obviously I don't want the plot to not make any sense. But for me personally, what draws me to stories, to shows, to media is characters, is human beings, is their stories and who they are, the ways they grow, the ways they change and they evolve and everything. So to have these incredibly complex characters who go through, like, really difficult things be treated with such care by the people who embody them, like, means so much to me as a viewer, because it makes, like, obviously I know that they are fictional characters and I know that Lottie Matthews is not a real person, but the way that her character makes me feel and the love that I have for her, it makes me so happy that Courtney Eden also, like, holds so much love for Lottie, Sophie Nalisse, and all of the flaws that Shauna has, in the way that people, a lot of viewers, I feel like, tend to reduce Shauna to all of, like, the worst parts of her. I really appreciate the way that Sophie Nalisse, like, still approaches her with love, because I feel like Not always, because I feel like sometimes it's fine to hate the character you're playing. But I think having some kind of like love for the character you're playing is really beautiful to me when the characters are going through so much. I don't know. Anyways, Mari is dead. They decide to prepare her. There are flashes. I thought this was really interesting, okay? Because it's long been theorized that the Pit Girl scene was like the last hunt right before they got rescued. I really like the decision to make the Pit Girl like the first, it's not the first real hunt, I guess, because they did hunt Natalie and Javi just died in her place. But like it's the first hunt of the second winter. I genuinely feel like the timing of the Pit Girl scene and the whole way it happened, like a lot of people were mad about the fact that the whole thing was like a diversion and it wasn't them all like succumbing to like ritualistic cannibalism and all of this. I really have no issue with that. I think that is really interesting. What I thought was interesting though was throughout this scene, there would be like glimpses to, I didn't know if it was meant to be like a flash forward because it would cut to like a different scene with like an effect, like a VHS effect that we've seen that was used even in this episode. I can't remember if it was used in previous episodes this season, but in this episode, it was used a few times to like show something that had already happened. Like we saw it in the opening sequence when it opens with them doing room checks and then they get kind of like this hazy VHS flashback to Misty and Natalie immediately after Misty and Natalie finds Misty with the black box. We also saw it in the adult timeline when Shauna notices that there's something under the fridge and we get a flashback to Callie dropping the note. So to me, this VHS effect here, to me, it felt like it was a fast forward. And I think maybe the scenes from the pilot are not entirely just this first scene. And that's what it's meant to like imply. Like, I think that we're going to see a similar scene that maybe is the last hunt where it is like the, because people were like Misty smirk at the end. I'm like, I feel like they're meant to be different scenes. Maybe I'm wrong. And I think the VHS thing is meant to indicate that we're going to see like a very similar last hunt before they get rescued. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I read this wrong. Maybe the VHS thing was just an effect and had nothing to do with anything. But it felt like it meant something to me, so I wanted to write it down. They feast on Mari, and this is intercut with adult Shauna when I said earlier that she started writing on the notepad her dialogue, her monologue about being a warrior and not being... First, she says that she forgot it, like survivors forget things, but the truth is they didn't want to remember it because they liked it. I didn't write down verbatim what it is. Genuinely, it felt like she was writing the beginning of a book. Like, who are you explaining that to? Maybe it's meant to be she's writing Melissa because Melissa wrote her and that's what prompted her to start writing again. But anyways, her speech is cut in between the feast and us seeing them eating Mari. Then it's morning and Shauna confronts Natalie, but it's actually Hannah because Natalie and Hannah switch places. And the episode ends with Natalie going to the top of a mountain. The phone turns on and it works. It goes through and we hear somebody say, "I can hear you." And that's how the episode ends. And it was iconic, like such a good ending. So what I wanted to say about the Pit Girl of it all is a few things. Am I really sad that Mari died? Yes, I am. I am really sad that Mari died. I would have loved for Mari to be one of the survivors. I loved her character. I do also just genuinely, and this is my opinion, but when Hannah came in, a lot of people were like, Hannah's probably Pit Girl. And while I think that could have been interesting, I like Mari being Pit Girl because she's such an important character, and she was especially like she had a lot of important moments this season where I'm glad that her death is as powerful as it is. Like, I think it's iconic that Mari is Pit Girl. Like, for a while it was like, is she gonna beat the allegations? And she didn't. And like, was it tragic and really sad? And the fact that she was like backing up the idea to do a hunt because they were using it as a diversion, it's all just, it's really sad to me. I'm excited to see where Alexa, the actress, like goes next. I know she's gonna, like she's phenomenal. I really loved, she said in an interview, she's like, the way that the rest of the girls
are like super secretive. Like Mari definitely would have been blabbing. Mari would have made a t-shirt that said, I survived the plane crash. And I love that because that's so true. Like Mari would have like gone on a talk show. Mari, if she was a real person, she would have like been a reality TV star and like got in on The Traitors. And she would have been like, I've killed before. Anyways, a lot of people, and not to get into like the meta of like what the audience is saying about the season, because this is my podcast and I want to share my thoughts, but I do want to say some people didn't love the idea of like the way Pit Girl was handled, because in the pilot, it seems like this is them like devolving into ritualistic cannibalism, and like the reality of the situation is they're doing it to get home. I really like that. I do, because one, we've seen them do horrible things already. Like, what do you mean? They've already like devolved into things. I don't know. I disagree with that. I think there's something really sad and interesting about that scene being them trying to get home in a way. Like, that's sad to me. I like the decision. I think my biggest lesson from this season is I'm not going to go into it having too many expectations or mapping out what I think the plot would be. I am going to, because there have been moments on this podcast, and I did it in this episode, of like, if this is the result they wanted, I think these little tweaks could have made it more powerful. Like, I'm fine with that kind of commentary. I mean, like, I'm talking about me personally. People can say whatever they want about the show on their own. But like, for me, I think my disappointment comes with like expecting things and then it not happening exactly the way I wanted it to. So I'm just like, I'm letting go of those expectations, and I'm going to take what's given to me and still comment on like ways that I think it fell flat or it could have been better. But like, that was the way people interpreted the Pit Girl scene. So when it wasn't that way, they're like, they're not all crazy. You know what? The thing that doesn't make sense to me though, is that when the girls are like crazy or violent or they don't, people get mad at that. Like, there are literally people who are like, oh, why don't they want to go home? They're so stupid. But then at the same time, you're like, why aren't they more into the ritualistic cannibalism? You'd be fucking pissed off if they were. You hate, like, I don't understand what people want from the show sometimes. I feel like my complaints are consistent. Too many men. Not enough Lottie, and generally things shortened and rushed when they don't need to be, or it could have been more powerful if it was expanded in certain ways. I have a lot of questions about Akila. What happened to Akila in the cave? Akila was just left in the cave and we never heard back from Akila. Where's Akila? They're like, where the fuck is Natalie? Where the fuck is Akila? That's my question. We know where Natalie is. She's on the top of the mountain. Anyways, I like the way the Pit Girl scene happened. I do think maybe the ritual we see in the pilot isn't solely this scene. I think the Pit Girl scene, them chasing her, yes, that is what we saw. But I think the shot where we see all of them and then they walk off and there's like however many people counted, 7 or whatever, and Misty's the only one to unmask there, I think maybe that hasn't happened yet. But maybe I'm wrong, because I think Natalie's going to get back and some time is going to pass and they're not going to hear anything back. They're going to start getting hopeless again, kind of somewhat similar to season 1, where the first few days they were like, somebody's coming for us. I think it's going to be that way, where they're going to be like, somebody's coming for us. And then like a month is going to pass and they're going to be like, nobody's fucking coming for us again. Like, we're lost. And then there's another turn. I don't know. I'm interested to see how it goes, because I will say, as many predictions as I had for the teen timeline, and like I did say that I thought they were going to kill Coach Ben and that would be kind of like a big turning point. Did I think that scientists were going to stumble upon them after they were cooking Coach Ben? No, that I did not predict. So all that to say, I think there are a lot of ways that they could take the teen timeline that I'm like not, that I can't predict or expect. So I don't know, but I do think that rescue isn't going to come right away, because I do think a lot more people are going to die in the teen timeline. And I'm interested to see how that happens. In terms of the adult timeline, I am interested to see everybody's dynamics going forward. Ty being against Shauna, Misty being aligned with Ty, where the fuck Melissa went, what her last name is. She's still Melissa Hatt. She doesn't have a last name. Does Alex ever find out that her wife is like crazy? Like, I am interested to see where the adult timeline goes. More than anything, I'm excited to see the end of their time in the wilderness and a post-rescue timeline, because I have so many questions. An interesting thing that I hadn't thought of, but I saw somebody say that they think that Lottie's dad probably pays for some kind of cover-up, so they don't like really investigate anything or like dive into like, oh, they ate people, which makes a lot of sense to me.
And I think it would make sense why they brought up like Lottie's dad in the present day being like, oh, it was an accident. I think that is very much like allowing us into like, okay, Lottie's dad is very much just going to like cover anything. So I do think that makes sense because I've like said on this podcast so many times, I'm like, were there not forensics on the plane? Would they not have known that they ate people? But you know what doesn't make sense to me? Is it canon in the show that team crashed in the Andes? Do they ever mention that? Did that plane crash not exist in their world? Because I know when they originally planned the show, the original concept of the show, the plane crash was in the 70s and then the present timeline was the 90s. But like, I think the network was like, we need to do something more contemporary. So then the present timeline moved up to the 2020s and the teen timeline was then in the 90s. So maybe in the world, in the vision of the world, that plane crash never happened and it was this one instead. Because I'm like, if that plane crash happened in the Andes where they ate each other, I'm like, it's not going to be that crazy that they ate each other. Okay, that's like something that already happened. So I imagine maybe in this world that hasn't happened because I'm like, there's already a movie about it. Like, what do you mean? Actually, now that I'm saying that, I feel like maybe they did mention that. I need to rewatch the early seasons because I'm like, maybe they did mention the plane that crashed in the Andes. Maybe I'm wrong. But if that plane crash is canon in their world, then like, why is it such a big deal? I get that they hunted each other. And again, forensics would like show that Mari had a bunch of spikes going through her body. She did not die in a plane crash. Anyways, I love the show. I will be doing a deep dive where I dive deep into the season. That will be out in a few weeks. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll have regular episodes about other shows in the meantime. If you have a show that's airing right now that you would like my thoughts on, please let me know. I would love ideas because I feel like I'm a little... I know You comes back soon. Maybe I'll cover that soon. I have some other shows that I've like watched some of that I'll like touch on next week if I don't have a structured show to talk about. But that's it for my Yellow Jackets, unless I think of something else. I guess my main feedback, if anybody from the Yellow Jackets team happens to tune in to this, expand a little bit more on things. Like the pacing feels like certain things are just rushed. Not every death has to be a mystery. I think they could have killed Lottie in a more powerful way by not making it a mystery. That's just my two cents. If there's one more survivor, please have her be a woman of color. And please give the characters of color on your show a little bit more airtime. Like, why did Thaisa not get her big speech about Van? Why instead do we have so much of Jeff? The Jules, too much of the Jules. We could have cut that whole storyline and instead had Callie and Lottie taking Callie under her wing. I think that would have made Callie killing Lottie more interesting and impactful. Because I do think, again, the idea, like, Lottie dying at the hands of the embodiment of the wilderness in many ways, because to Lottie at least, Shauna's children are like connected to the wilderness, right? And I've said this many times because I saw some people be like, why couldn't they have given Callie's plot line to Sammy? And I do think it would be really interesting to explore Sammy's connection to the wilderness and like the way that he can tell when Ty is other Ty, and like the fact that he saw her eating, he called her the woman in the tree. Like Sammy does have like some sort of sense of the wilderness. But I think to me, it's always been very clear how Callie is very much like a manifestation of the wilderness in many ways, or of the trauma, at least of everything that happened out there, because Jeff and Shauna's relationship had such a powerful domino effect that if Shauna had never gotten pregnant, everything would have been different because her relationship with Jackie would have ended differently. If Jackie hadn't died when she did, they might not have started eating each other. If Shauna wasn't pregnant and lost her baby, she wouldn't have beat Lottie up. If Lottie wasn't incapacitated and was like, please eat my body, then they wouldn't have started the hunt. Everything, like a lot of things did spawn from Shauna being pregnant. And I think Shauna coming back and like having another baby with Jeff, to me, it makes sense why Callie, and she's literally the age they are now. Like, I do think Callie's connection to the wilderness is really interesting and makes a lot of sense. I think we could have explored it a little bit more to make that embodiment of the wilderness being what kills Lottie that much more powerful. But anyways, I love the show. I'm really excited to talk about it. Like, as sad as I am that the season's over, I'm like, well, I still have my deep dive. So I still have a few more weeks of dedicating my time to Yellow Jackets before the season's really wrapped up for real for me, at least. So thanks so much for tuning in. If you've found me through my Yellow Jackets takes, I do cover other shows, so please stay tuned. And if you have any suggestions, if you like my Yellow Jackets commentary and you're like, Emmy, I think you should watch this show, please let me know. I'm open to suggestions. Thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. I love this podcast. I love Yellow Jackets. I love talking about it. I complain about the show. I critique the show. I compliment the show. I praise the show. I have a lot of mixed feelings because it means truly so much to me, this piece of media, that I love it. And I will also be like, I think this could have been done a little bit differently. I also want to say that when it comes to media and art in this day and age, when everything is a business, like, I do also try to have some understanding that it's like what ends up like on the cutting room floor might not be necessarily purely on the writers. Like, maybe the network really loves Jeff, so they push for more Jeff, and then we don't. I still do think that they could have had Lottie in the season longer. Like, I don't think it's solely, but I think there are a lot of factors that go into it, and I'm not trying to be like super negative to the show about like the things that I find are annoying, because I do think, unfortunately, the 10 episode season is like just a structure of TV right now that's not like a Yellow Jackets specific thing, you know? So in those regards, I'm not trying to like criticize Yellow Jackets specifically. I do just have things that I would have preferred. Like, I really do think that they could have done Lottie's death a little bit more interesting, but maybe we can get flashbacks. Like, maybe next season we can get more flashbacks of Callie and Lottie. I don't know. I'm making no sense. Thank you so much for tuning in. Means a lot. I'll have another episode next week. Have a great week.